open AI change startups forever? Hey everyone, Adam Bergman here, tax attorney and founder of IRA Financial, and welcome to another episode of Adam Talks. On this episode, I'm going to explore the opaque organizational structure of OpenAI and talk about, did it change the way people are going to set up companies in the future? Is this going to change things? Will people in the right type of business, in the right environment, look to first set up a charity, a tax exempt, allow people to make tax deductible contributions to that charity, do a lot of great research, and then if they find a viable product solution, turn it into a for-profit company, essentially move all the employees and all the IP to that company and run the business and raise money. That's exactly what Sam Altman did at OpenAI. And we saw there was a board revolt, which planned coup, which actually didn't materialize because Sam Altman and the employees have too much power because there's too much money at stake. And they basically were able to overthrow the board, take back control of the company, and essentially get back to running a for-profit business. So I wanted to go through this very interesting organizational structure. The intent was good, but what happened is, you know, profits and money always take priority. And maybe that's the right way. We live in a capitalistic society. I have nothing against that. I'm just saying that's kind of what happened. So I'm going to kind of go through the history of OpenAI. And it was actually founded as a tax-exempt nonprofit in 2015 by Sam Altman and Elon Musk. And this was its mission statement: to build artificial general intelligence, AGI, that is safe and benefit all of humanity. And essentially that was its goal. Okay. And essentially they wanted to raise tons of capital through charitable donations. And Elon Musk, I think, donated anywhere from like $60 to $80 million. And that was kind of the mission. Okay. And essentially what happened is they opened up a for-profit company through an LLC when they realized that they needed way more money than they had through charitable contributions. And what happened is, yeah, you have this organization structure where you have a not-for-profit and a for-profit that, you know, maybe has aligned interests, maybe not. The for-profit entity clearly has the goal of making money, and the not-for-profit has a mission to make AI safe for all humanity. They could align, they could not. The interesting thing about the structure is there's one board for both companies. In a lot of other cases, we've seen this in newspapers where they have a nonprofit and a for-profit. There's generally different boards. Here, there's one board that has to kind of manage dual loyalties, I would say, one to a tax exempt mission and one to a for-profit mission. So what happened, as we all know, is they needed more money, so they raised money. Microsoft, which now owns 49% of the profit subsidiary, they invested $13 billion in the company. But to their credit, to OpenAI, Sam Altman's credit, they actually built in kind of a profit threshold or limitation on the for-profit entity that basically said this: once the investors, they're only capped at making 100 times their money. So if they put in a dollar, the most they can make is $100. Okay, obviously Microsoft put in $13 billion, so they can make 100 times $13 billion. And once the investors reach that, and once the company reaches that value, then it becomes back, it reverts back to a tax exempt. So it kind of got some, I guess, unqualified criticism because it's not a for-profit with unlimited profit. Once there's 100 times initial investor value, it reverts back to a tax exempt. So this is why ultimately Elon Musk left and a lot of the board, initial board members left, because when they started OpenAI, the name Open, they wanted it to be open to humanity. And now they feel like it's kind of closed. It's a business, which Microsoft owns, you know, 49% of that sliver of that for-profit. The OpenAI tax exempt company still owns some of the for-profit company as well. But this is the big issue why people are kind of up in arms with it. basically said, listen, we started tax exempt. We got all these charitable contributions. So we had the benefit of getting people give us donations, meaning you get pre-tax money in there. People got deductions. And yeah, they didn't have any equity, but they got deductions. And now these employees that work for a not-for-profit were basically switched to a for-profit and were able to sell up to $2 billion of OpenAI was sold in secondary markets. So they were able to cash in the fact that they started this tax exempt, and now they were able to develop all this artificial intelligence, mainly through donations initially. And then they were able to turn that tax exempt structure into a for-profit business. So looking at that, can this be done for something else? Hey, I've been working on this unbelievable, I think, tax exempt. Working on this financial instrument that I believe will change the way people retire forever. I've been working on it for years. Hopefully going to launch it this year. Why shouldn't I set up a charity for it? Get deductions, get all my friends and family, even me. I'll make charitable deductions to that entity. Spend a lot of time researching it, putting in the effort. Once I see it's a viable product, set up a for-profit LLC, dump all the IP, dump my employees into the new entity, and then bang, I'm in business. Kind of an issue, right? So a couple of things that people aren't talking about. UBIT, unrelated business income tax. We know it applies to IRAs. Well, its initial purpose for charities. So OpenAI is going to have a crap load of UBIT. UBIT's taxed at 37%. Their investments into this entity, assuming it's unrelated. Now, they're going to argue it's related to their exempt purpose. So they're going to try to get around this UBIT income because they're going to say, look, our exempt purpose is to make AI safe. And here we have this for-profit open AI business. So it's not unrelated to our exempt purpose. It's related. So there's no UBIT. The IRS will have an issue with that. And I guarantee there will be some type of litigation on whether some of that income from their billions and billions of dollars of revenue will be subject to UBIT. I'm not sure where that's at. Obviously, it hasn't become public. I don't know if the IRS is auditing that or looking into that, but I think that will be an issue. And that's something that I've heard no one talk about, whether UBIT will get triggered here. OpenAI is very smart and I think thought very carefully through the structure, and they'll make the argument it's not unrelated. It is related to its exempt purpose. This is what it's built to do. It's just going to make AI safe. They'll argue it looks like a business here. It's closed. It's not open. You're running a business. How much of this money is actually being used for education and research, and what's the breakdown? These are all the details we just don't have now. But I'm curious, will people do this for other businesses, whether it's medical research, whether it's financial research, social consumer products? I don't know. I mean, this is something that people can take this model and say, I'll start a charity, I'll get deductions, I'll grow, do the research, development. And if I see I have a product, I'll just turn it into a for-profit business, dump all the IP and all the employees, and then make money that way. And I was able to start a business with pre-tax money. We'll see. I just thought it was interesting. That's why I wanted to share it with you. I've been kind of fascinated by this structure. I'm curious how the IRS kind of views this. Clearly, if you set up a charity to educate, low-income families, and then you started a bicycle business, clearly you're going to have unrelated business income. But let's say you started a tax-exempt organization to educate, Americans on IRA literacy and educate people on the power of tax deferral and the power of alternative assets. Can I do all that, raise money through tax deductible contributions, build my business, at least start my business? And then if I see I have a product, just start a for-profit business selling self-directed IRAs. it kind of follows the AI model. I think the IRS is going to have to dive into this. That's why I think ultimately they're going to have to put the kibosh on this thing and argue that this is a business and they can easily pull their tax-exempt status. That's something I think possibly will happen, because they're going to say, hey, this is not a business. It's not a charity. It's a business. And how much you're actually doing from an educational tax exempt purpose. So they may pull their tax exempt status. I don't know what that will mean for audit or recognizing income or any contributions made to that charity in the past. They may force you to recharacterize your tax deductible contributions. The charity ultimately wasn't tax exempt. So I don't think the IRS is going to let this slide. I assume they're looking at this. Because if I was the IRS, I'd be concerned that you know, maybe not Joe Pizzeria or Johnny's Car Wash will do this, but I think larger, more potentially valuable unicorn companies could look to this model and say, hey, I'm going to do this. And that, if I was the IRS, would be troubling and scary because they could potentially lose a lot of tax revenue. So the reason it's important is I think it's always interesting for to look at potential new startup organizational structures. You mix in AI, Sam Altman, Elon Musk, and you throw in UBIT, and I think it makes for a very interesting discussion. And I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. It's kind of just an issue spotting, open the eyebrow type of presentation. We don't have all the details. We know as much as we can on the org structure based off the open AI website. There's been a recent case involving Elon Musk and Sam Altman. Elon Musk's basically saying, hey, you tricked me. We said we were going to start this tax exempt. And now guess what? You took turned this into a monster business. The market cap of OpenAI, hold on, let me just, it's crazy, right? OpenAI market cap is in the billions, $30 billion. So he's like, hey, I put in 50, 60 million bucks, thought I was doing a good thing. Then you got the big bad Microsoft to be a 49% investor. You built a monster $30 billion business and I have no equity interest, right? I'm a charity. I made a charitable deduction. I get no equity. OpenAI has some equity, but he's not an investor in OpenAI. He's just a contributor, a donor. So he's like, I get nothing. I'm not an employee. The employee just made billions of dollars. I just gave you 40, 50 million bucks and got nothing other than a tax deduction. And you changed the rules on me. You just changed the game. You told me what you're doing was altruistic. And now you just built a $30 billion business. Now, his defense is like, hey, we need to raise more money. That's part of our exempt purpose. The only way we can raise more money is to give investors equity. I get it. And look, we put a cap on is you can only make 100 times your money. After that, it reverts back to tax exempt. Now, you may be saying 100 times your money, that's crazy. But you know, in the venture capital world, that's what they look at. 10 times isn't interesting enough. Maybe the cap should have been 30 times or 40 times your money. 100 times is pretty generous. But nonetheless, there is a limitation on it. So it's not what you call just a for-profit enterprise like Amazon or NVIDIA, which has unlimited potential, right? It could be worth $10 trillion. No one's capping how much you can make on your investment. So by capping it, he's, at least I think OpenAI is making the argument that, look, we're just doing this for a limited purpose. We need to raise more money. We want to give investors equity. Once they 100 times their money, we're going back to a charity tax exempt, and we're going to save the world from AI. So very interesting case. I don't think anyone's right or wrong. I think everyone had good concepts, good intentions, but you know how money works. The investors are now like, hey, we want our 100 times our money, and we're not going to kind of drift off so quickly. So very interesting to be continued. I find it fascinating. I think more litigation to come. It's too much money at stake. And once you mix in AI and some of the players involved, it's going to get fun. So thanks again for spending some time with me today. I hope you enjoyed the podcast or for watching on YouTube. Appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe. It's a weekly podcast. John Lee drops every Wednesday or Thursday. Lately, more Thursday for some reason. I think we've just been super busy. If you enjoyed it, please leave a nice review or thumbs up. Would always be appreciated. And that's it. Enjoyed hanging out with you guys today. And I hope to see everyone again next week. Ciao, and thanks for hanging out. Take care.